Pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
I'm really starting to figure this. You know what I really, really need? I really need one. I need like a teleprompter. Say, what do you mean? Well, I kind of rearranged my camera yesterday because I'm constantly looking up. And you know what I need? I need the teleprompter right in the middle of my screen. And then I would always feel like I'm looking at you. I don't have the other computer that I normally work with. I changed the camera angle here a little bit today. So still trying to get my feet under me here with the technological stuff that's gone on. As always, honored to be here. Got a lot of stuff on the plate today. A lot of stuff that we need to dig into. And I just want to always start out saying the same thing. How honored I am to be in here. And that we're growing, man. We're growing. And the thing I like about the fact that we're growing is not that we're growing, but that more and more people are beginning to be awakened. And I look on the screen today, and what do we have? We have 58 people right now in the queue, and who knows how many are listening? How many are? So praise the Lord for that. I want to do some cleanup, some mop up. Hey guys, we're out of hats. That's never happened to me. I appreciate all of you that ordered. My poor little wife, she, golly, stuff she's been doing around the packages we've been sending out has been amazing. We do that. I say my staff. It's Michelle. And she's all stressed out because our hats were supposed to have been done a week ago. They're not done. We hope to have them here in a couple of days. So if you're ordering hats, your order is a little bit slow because we don't have them. Well, they're being printed, but I don't have them yet. I was supposed to have them 2 weeks ago. So give Michelle a little bit of grace. We're getting all that stuff out to you and bear with us. Excited about the D.C. trip. Again, Polly, come on in and say what you need to say about the D.C. trip. It's this weekend. We're going to go to several different key places on Friday and Saturday, and we're trying to make arrangements so nobody gets lost. We have a place at a hotel that we're all staying together in, and I want to thank Mike and Polly because I throw a few bucks their way, but not certainly not what they're worth, and they're the one that do all the behind-the-scenes organization, them and Gary, because hey, that ain't my gift, okay? It's not my gift. My gift's calling the play, directing the team. And that behind-the-scenes stuff just drives me nuts. So thank God for Paulie and Mike who are doing it. So, Polly, come on in. Fill us in here real quickly.
Good morning. Yes, we have over 30 people signed up. And if you need a room to sleep Friday night, please go on and register this morning. We need to know the numbers so we make sure we have enough rooms for you to have a bed to sleep in. So please go to CoachDaveLive.com. There's a big bar at the top that says register for DC trip. Just go there and sign up today, this morning, if you can.
And we have to charge $65. That gets you a night in a hotel. We'll throw you some food in there. It's money that you would probably spend on your own if you'd come anyway. So the thing that makes it easy for us, when you get there, your hotel, we pick up your hotel. You don't have to pay for your hotel. It's all on the bill and then the food and all that kind of stuff. So if you do that, it really, really would help us. And again, those of you who maybe are just going to join us on Saturday, that'll be fine. I'm working to get together an information list so everybody knows where to meet us and what time we're leaving from. And so that if you happen to get mixed up or lost from us, you won't remain very long. I've rented a 12-passenger van. Polly and Mike have rented a 15-passenger van. They're coming up from the south. So we'll be able to transport at least 27 people. And then maybe
I'm hoping to meet at 3 p.m. to go around D.C. that day.
3 p.m., yes. Yeah, and I'll tell you tomorrow, folks. I just got some legwork I got to do with logistics. And I'll let you know tomorrow where the jump off place will be. Maybe it'll be the hotel, but maybe it'll be one of the cornerstones. I'll let you all know that tomorrow. Okay. Anybody have any questions about those logistics? Hats and shirts have already been shipped. I pray that you get them. Some of them we didn't ship because I didn't think they'd get to you in time. I'll just bring them and hand those out to you at that time. So I just really, really were overwhelmed, appreciative that you guys would get a uniform. Pretty cool that we'll be out there in uniform. So anything for the good of the group regarding the trip to Washington, D.C.?
Yes, it was a lot of walking last time. I might even bring a folding chair.
That's a great question. Awesome, Polly. Yeah, carry a little chair maybe because there isn't some. Folks, what we're going to try to do, we're not going to march, okay? We're going to go do specific things. I told you what we're going to do yesterday and go to the Washington's Monument and pray and go to the Capitol building and pray. The march will be going on all around us. There'll be all kinds of people that were there. But we're going to move as a group. And we're going to, instead of marching anywhere, so like last time we marched to the Supreme Court building, well, so what? We march to the Supreme Court building. This time we're going to strategically place ourselves and do ministry there and hand out cards and preach and do a lot of cool things like that. So it'll be a good time. Promise you it'll be a good time. And then I haven't spoken much about it. I'm going to talk maybe a little bit about it today. Sorry, look at my screen here. Don't forget, we're going to go to the Serpent Mound on the December 20th. Now, I don't expect Mike and Polly to drive all the way from Andy Griffith's hometown. I don't expect Mark Trump to come all the way from Virginia. I don't expect Randy to come all the way from Oklahoma. But there's a pocket of us. There are enough of us here that are centralized in this Midwest that I think some of you could come and help us. And I'll get you some more. I don't have all the details done on that. But we're going to go there for sure and pray at the Serpent Mound on December 20th, which is, if I have my calendar in front of me, that's a Friday, isn't it? Somebody help me out real quick on what December 20th is. Because the 21st, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Sunday.
No, it can't be.
It's a Sunday.
The 20th is Sunday?
Yes.
Perfect. Good. We'll do it on Sunday the 20th. And then it won't require an overnight stay on people. If they want to do it, they can, but they don't have to. And the 20th, the solstice is the night of the 20th. Into the 21st, right? So the place is open on Sunday. It's closed the rest of the time, but they open it for the pagans, I guess. So I'll get more information for you out there as well. But that's going to be done Sunday the 20th. Thanks, man, for whoever popped in to help me out with it. Cool. Let me look up here. Okay, I want to start out with a video here because I'm heading someplace today. Here's what I stop, Coach. Stop. Anything for the good of the group? Anybody have anything? Oh, yeah. JR, tell us what went on last night at your Westerville club, whatever club. I can't
remember.
Tea party. Hey, folks out there, pray for Larry Richardson. His wife, Gail, she's got a fever. She's battling leukemia, and she's in the hospital, and her spirits are good and everything's good, but she got a fever, so now she's going to be quarantined down in there for about 10 days. So pray for Larry. And Larry's dad, can you believe Larry's dad's still alive? But he is. Larry's dad went into some extended nursing care for same thing. So keep Larry Richardson in your prayers as well, folks. I'm sorry. Go ahead, JR.
Good. Local tea party. By the way, there were three people there last night from the tea party that are going to Washington, D.C. this weekend. So,
oh, good.
That was good to hear that. We hear so much information, one-sided information about COVID. It's just incredible. Just bombarded daily with it. And it was refreshing to have a doctor at a meeting last night and be able to answer all those questions, all those information that you're getting. You know, it just doesn't sound right. And to clarify everything in that, it gave a lot of balance to what we're hearing. But Dr. Pam Popper, if you ever get a chance to listen to her, she is incredible. She knocked it out of the park several times last night. She is with the group, and this is in Ohio, that are suing the state of Ohio for calling an emergency when they didn't need to call one.
Amen on that one, bud. Amen on that.
Yeah. And what they're doing, this is beautiful. Part of the legal process is you have to ask for facts. We want to see the facts. So they're asking for the state of Ohio to give the facts for filing the emergency. Of course, the state of Ohio is going, whoa, wait a minute. We're not going to give those to you. So the state of Ohio is trying to keep from giving the facts out, and this group is going after them. It's really, and I'm telling you something, this gal is spunky. Roger was there last night, and he can tell you this is one of the best meetings, Coach, that I have ever been to. 75 people were there. Larry, we took the trifold brochures. I took about 80 with me, and there were still more people that wanted some. So it was incredibly encouraging.
Awesome, man. So, hey, JR, people are waking up, aren't they?
Oh, my goodness, yeah. I mean, they're not only were they weren't there just to be entertained. They were there to do something. And that's what I like about what I heard this morning. People are doing things. This is, ooh, we got to keep this up. Good stuff.
Yeah, it is good. It is good stuff. So I appreciate you going. And I would have loved to come. I couldn't break away last night to be able to do it. And so I'm glad Roger went. And as Larry often says, everybody says we have to work together, even though it may not be our particular, you know, our gig. Folks, good things. I'm telling you, good things are happening. Now, let me say this real quickly, JR, not necessarily directed at JR, because, Mike, I'm screwed up again over here on my screen. I click on one thing and all the faces disappear. It drives me crazy. Hey, folks, you saw the media is doing everything they can to scare you again. Say, see, Trump lost. He lost in Pennsylvania. You're in trouble now. He lost. No. That was a procedural thing to try to stop the counting of the ballots. And I think the Supreme Court knows there's a lot of different things coming at them. And I think they just said, we'll deal with that later. We'll deal with that. That's what I think is what happened yesterday. He tried to stop the counting, I think is what it was, or maybe the validation of it. But it's this thing's alive and kicking. And of course, the big news, and I'm not going to try to bore down too much on this. The big deal is the fact that now 9 states, I believe, have sued the 5 crappy states for violation of their civil rights, which I think is I sent that out to some of you yesterday. I think that's a game set matcher to me. Equal protection under the law. You cannot tell the people of Pennsylvania that they can have 7 days after the election to vote and tell the people in Oklahoma that they have 1 day to do it. That's not equal protection under the law. And the state of Texas said, listen, because Pennsylvania, you unconstitutionally, by the way, reorder your rules on the election. It impacted us here in Texas. You guys, because you did such a sloppy job and you didn't follow the law, now the guy we voted for here in Texas, we are going to be disenfranchised. We're screwed over because of what you guys did. I think it's a winner. And I think that would be a good call we all could make, is call our local, our state's attorney generals and say, when are you getting involved? When are you filing too? When are you in it? Because that'll force the hand of the Supreme Court. They'll have to do something. That's my take. Don't panic. Remember this, the Dan Bongino rule. When you see the news, wait 2 days before you react. Wait at least 2 days before you react, especially knowing that the left is going to do everything to try to screw us up. Okay, cool on that one. Question, anybody else want to come in? Mike, if you will. Okay, Coach, let's see if I can get this thing to work here. Mike, pull up. It's all about control. It's all about this JP video. This thing, I like this guy. And Michelle, watch this. Because I was going to show her this morning. I love my wife so much. I'm telling you guys, you don't know how that lady. You don't have any idea how much she works, what she puts in. This is, folks, this is, of course, a... what do they call it? Satire. Mike, I think you can put it at about 1.5 speed. It's not 9 minutes long. It only goes about 6. But you tell me that this satire, folks, it's all about control. It's all about control. Go ahead and play it, Mike.
Whoever controls the media controls a population. And that's us. We're the elite. We control the media, and therefore we control you. I can assure you, we the elite are not motivated by money. Even though there's just a few of us and we own nearly all of it, we're not motivated by money. We wouldn't stoop to that level. Money's a poor man's currency. We're motivated by control, specifically by controlling people. If you thought it was a thrill to make a bunch of money, just wait until you have control over a bunch of actual people. It's way more thrilling. Like, you know how you love your family and how you do anything for them? Yeah, well, that's how we feel about control. We love it. And we just want control over everyone and everything. Think about it this way. Have you ever been in a relationship with a really controlling person? You know how awful that can feel? So you can imagine how much better it feels to be the person who's doing the controlling in the relationship. So that's what we're trying to do in our relationship with everybody. We love being in control. It feels so good to us. That's why we make up rules to protect people. They clearly don't, because they're not designed to protect people. They're engineered to give us control over people. Like a 10 p.m. curfew? Think about that. I can assure you that one's not because COVID's nocturnal. Do you know what the feeling's like, knowing everyone's putting on a mask to cover their identity just to go into a store? And we're not even there, but they're doing it anyway? That's how much control we have over them. It's intoxicating. Some say it's kind of like playing God, but not true. It is playing God. In fact, it's actually more than playing God, because God doesn't control people. He gives them free will. We do control people, so I wonder if we could control God. Jerry, see if we can get God to go into quarantine. How do we control you? With fear. It's actually the only way we can control you. Are the masses of people scared of the virus or what the virus has done? No, even though they think they are. They're scared of what we've told them the virus is, what it has done, and what it will do. Essentially, we want to keep you scared 24/7. Even while you sleep. So again, why do we want you scared? So we can control you, because we love control, not you. Getting people to willingly do things is controlling. It's great, but getting people to do things that are against their will is the G-spot of control. It's exponentially more controlling. Then you're at a level of control where people are like, I want to have friends over, but I won't, because I'm not supposed to. They're going against their own will, where they're like, I don't want to wear a mask, they don't do anything, but I'll put one on to go into the store so no one gets angry at me. They're doing what they themselves don't want to do, and we're doing it to them. You know, getting people to get injected with something is controlling. It's good. I'm not saying it's not. It's controlling. But getting people to get injected with something that they don't want to get injected with is so much more controlling. And that's what we're kind of doing here. Is this making sense to you? Picking up what I'm putting down? We also strengthen the venom of control circulating in people by getting them to do what they know is harmful to them. Like we tell people, sunlight kills the virus, so stay inside. And when they submit to that, even though they know what they're submitting to doesn't make any sense and is harmful to them, they're betraying themselves and becoming more loyal to us, which means we have more control over them than they do. And that's a win. And in the same vein, we also like to tell people, if you're overweight, you're at high risk. So we're going to close down all the gyms for your protection. And then they don't exercise. And the ace up our sleeve that people fall for all the time is we actually tell them human connection is bad for them. It's like telling a fish that water's bad for them. But the difference between fish and people is people will fall for it. So it's good. Another strategy that helps volumize the amount of control we have over people is we prey on the most scared people to get them to police the unscared people. Like, have you ever seen someone yelling at someone else for not wearing a mask? Or someone calling the authorities on a business that didn't shut down? Or someone reporting their neighbors because they had friends over? We're controlling them to control you. It's control squared. And I think it was Einstein who had the breakthrough equation, E equals MC squared. The C stands for controlled, the M is for masses, and the E is for elite. Elite equals masses controlled squared. Simple math. Now there's three things we must control in order to have complete control over you. Your thoughts, your words, and your actions. Controlling your actions. We're doing that. Wear a mask, shut your business down, stay in your home, stay 6 feet apart, etc. Controlling your words. Yeah, we're doing that. It's called censorship. We censor speech that speaks out against the scare tactics that we're using to control people. A nice side effect of this one is it's much easier to control people who don't know they're being controlled. That's why we don't let people talk about what we're doing when they recognize what we're doing. And controlling your thoughts. Yeah, we're doing that too. We control the media to control your thinking. Whoever controls the media controls the population. And that's us. We're the elite. We control the media, and therefore we control you. Controlling the media is how we censor your thinking, and therefore it's how we control your thinking. Because controlling your thinking shouldn't be left up to you. Should be left up to us, as we need to control your thoughts, words, and actions in order to have complete control over you, because we love control. Will a heroin addict ever feel like they have enough heroin? Probably not. Will we ever feel like we have enough control over you? Probably not. So we'll gladly continue taking more control, if you keep letting us. Stop what you're doing, Mike. And be grateful with me. Specifically, I want to share my gratitude for the sponsor.
That was too true, wasn't it, folks? That was absolutely too true. And that's where we are. So listen, I'm going to try to turn to a more serious note on the same subject. If you bear with me here a second, that guy's name is BJ, I think. Awaken with JP is his website. Maybe we can somehow, Mike, throw that into the chat so people can have that as well. He's good. He does this kind of stuff all the time, but there's humor there, but sadly, some of it's not real funny, folks. It's not real funny. And it's all about control. And whether we understand that or not, remember, seed of the serpent, seed of the woman, go through that whole gig again. And what we see going on all across the land is nothing but control. So, Mike, pull up there if you can. What are you going to do when they come for you? This is a commentary I came across today at LouRockwell.com. I check LouRockwell.com every morning. Bear with me. I've got a Bible teaching. Roger's always complaining because we don't do enough Bible. I got some Bible, baby, coming up here, Roger, so bear with me here. So Mike's going to throw it up on the screen. Let me flip back over, see if I got it. What you going to do when they come for you? That was a song. You guys remember that, right? I think of that song at the beginning of the Cops TV show. Bad boys, what you going to do when they come for you? I want to reword the lyrics. Good boys, what you going to do when they come for you? Understand the difference? Yeah, you. Talking about door-to-door vaccinations. Maybe those who live in a motor home without an address will escape the fate now facing all Americans. Coerced vaccinations. Every American vaccinated in the next 4 to 5 months or else. Politicians will say no one will be forced or held down to take vaccinations. The military is just going to help distribute the vaccine, not show up to your house with bayonets at the end of the rifles. You can just get a drive. You just can't get a driver's license, a job, travel by airplane, go to the store, unless you have that vaccination card. Government agencies are already participating in how to get every American vaccinated, how to deal with vaccine hesitancy. Yet health officials, authorities concede that 4 of the first 7 COVID-19 vaccines will fail. All vaccines will fail. Actually, all COVID-19 vaccinations will predictably fail because, and he's got some links there. This is just a repeat of history. Another 5 years, vaccines will fail by plan because government tyrannists, which we just heard JP talk about that, they don't want the vaccines to be, folks, they don't want the vaccines to be successful. You understand that? It's control, control, control. They don't want them to be successful because if they're successful, you don't need government and the government loses its control, right? The experts predict COVID-19 will keep going for another 5 years. What? Yeah. By then, Christian holidays will have been erased. Somebody say amen. Most small businesses will have failed. Savings accounts will have withered to zero. And all the gain of billion-dollar companies, all for the gain of billion-dollar companies. Why would the tyranny state want to give up control? Keep singing hymns in your church. You can exercise your freedom there, just nowhere else. You may have to live with the sanctuary of a church to avoid vaccinations. Vaccinates the whole country. Create even more death and morbidity. Then panic really sets in and all the masses rely even more on the God of government to save them and then suspend all civil liberties and nix all constitutional rights for their greater good, then never return them to the people. See, the test is flawed. The test for COVID-19, the polymerase chain reaction test, is known to not work. The illogic for diagnosis of COVID-19 is you have any symptoms or you happen to die and the PCR test was positive, then you must have died by COVID. Then if it's not A, then B. But what caused B? If it's found out that 95% of children who died in auto pedestrian accidents were wearing tennis shoes, were tennis shoes responsible for the deaths? Of course not. Tennis shoes were just coincidental, not causal. My friend said to me, I recently had a friend to say, just wait till the door-to-door vaccination team is met with armed resistance. Then an army jeep will come with the vaccination team. We'll have a machine gun mounted on the back and a couple of soldiers. Now, they will say it's for the protection of the vaccinated team, but it really serves to intimidate people. That friend who wants to remain anonymous replied, if it comes to that, they would want a sentry for the neighborhood so you could never return. I think it'll go down just like Social Security number. You'll beg for it because they will make it impossible for you to live without the vaccination. All of American tyranny is voluntary. You apply, beg, pray to Caesar for your Social Security number, your birth certificate, your marriage license, your driver's license, and current vaccines, all for the benefits that come with them. They do not force any of this on the people. I expect COVID's going to be the same way. If anyone worships the beast in his image and receives its mark on his forehead or on their hand, the Bible says. Worship means to kiss the hand. I don't think force is implied here. Right now, you see half the country love, desire to wear masks. Half of them love wearing them. They do it as worship. But more will comply with the RNA injection because of the benefits. guaranteed income, folks. Plutarch said, the real destroyers of the liberty of the people is he who spreads among them bounties, donations, and benefits. Proverbs says, many will entreat the favor of the prince, and every man is a friend to him that giveth him gifts. And Polybius said, the masses continue with an appetite for benefits and the habit of receiving them by way of a rule or forced violence. People haven't grown accustomed to feed at the expense of others and to depend for their livelihood on the property of others, institute the rule of violence. And now, uniting their forces, massacre, banish, and plunder until they degenerate again into perfect savages and find once more a master and a monarch. Proverbs 15:25 says, he that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house, but he that hateth gifts shall live. What will you do when they come for you? Presuming you don't want to be immunized against COVID-19 with an experimental vaccine, tell your doctor you refuse to hold him harmless for any side effects that emanate from the COVID-19 virus. In other words, tell your doctor, if I get sick, I'm suing you, dude. No doctor in his or her right mind can proceed to inoculate anyone and bear the risk of legally responsibility for any harm that would come to them after vaccination. My next suggestion is to take the consent refusal form I created below. Go to your doctor and ask for a health evaluation in anticipation of vaccination. Yada, yada, yada. Goes on and on and on. Folks, this is real stuff. It's real stuff. What are they going to do when you pick your store? You can't go into that store. You can't, you go use a credit card. See, it's, what he's saying is they're not going to come and force us to comply and take a vaccination. They're just going to make it almost impossible to live if you don't. You understand? I'll shut up. Open it up. Response.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
You know, we need to really pray that people in the military, people our law enforcement, rise up and say no. And we're not going to participate in this mess.
Well, Paul, I'm sorry, go ahead. I'm sorry, bud.
No, no, you're fine. Go ahead.
I interrupt a lot. My wife always is chastising me for it. I never interrupt my wife, though. I never interrupt her. Here's what I think. We watched the video yesterday of Peter the Russian and his friends going to whatever. I can never remember that place. Anyway, I believe, folks, here's what I think. Hear me, please. We have to organize. You listening, JR? We have to organize and be part of mass arrests. That's what I believe we're going to have to do. We're going to have to show up at Rural King, 25 of us, 50 of us, and just tell them to arrest us all. That's the only way. See, we're listening a lot. We're hearing a lot right now going on with the election, and they're talking about somebody not even having standing. In other words, the courts say, you can't come in and file a lawsuit. You don't have standing. In other words, it hasn't impacted you. Well, if 50 of us go into Rural King or pick your place and they call the police and they come and arrest us, we now have standing. We now have standing to go into court and say, you violated my civil rights. This isn't even a law. And the only reason that we're in the mess that we're in right now is because why? We comply. Nobody wants to go to jail. Nobody. I don't want to go to jail. Who wants to go to jail? But what if 50 of us show up at one place? You're going to call 20 paddy wagons and take us down because we didn't have a mask on? Really? Think so? Well, I'll die in jail without a mask, I guess. First thing they'll do is, oh, well. Put you in jail with all. Anyway, somebody else respond.
Hey, Coach, this is Gary. We just had someone in Punxsutawney, the town next to me, arrested for not wearing a mask because he refused to leave. And they came with the police and they took him out for trespassing. I think it was trespassing what they charged him with, but it was one guy.
Gary, will they do that to 60 of us? Will they do that to 100 of us?
Well, I don't know, but they'll do it to me because I ain't wearing one. I haven't worn one yet. I don't plan on it. But you're right. We need to do it in masses.
Listen, there's no sense anybody has to be a martyr in this. We don't have to be a martyr. I don't have to see Jeff Klein go to jail for himself, get all the troubles on Jeff, and Jeff's in jail, and he's got to bail out, and he's got a $180 fine. Why would we want Jeff to do that by himself? Let's all go with him.
And Dave, the next step is everybody demands a jury trial. You'll clog the system up so much it won't even be funny. But what will happen is they'll eventually dismiss the cases, as they do with all the rioters.
That's right.
They dismiss them later. But if you do this, Everybody wants a jury trial.
Amen. Okay, buddy. Well, Roger, I'm going to do it. And I'm going to find somebody else who's going to do it. Because what they are doing, number one, it isn't a freaking law.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah,
what would stop them from singling those out that would cause the most damage? In other words, a lot of retired people going to jail, they'll dismiss right away. But what about all the people where their lives will just completely be disrupted if they're in jail for a week or two?
Yeah. Well, first of all, they won't be able to hold them for a week. Roger, you know, I'm not asking for legal advice here, Roger, but that's probably a trespassing charge is what they would hit everybody with.
How long they hold that other guy?
Yeah, you got a point. You got a point.
Well, but it's going to be a misdemeanor, and they're not going to hold you very long. They're going to have a reasonable bond.
Heck, they're empty in the jails, aren't they?
But the key is if you have 50 people arrested or 200, is everybody wants a jury trial. Uh-huh. and do not waive. The time to get to a trial. Do not waive speedy trial. So what happens is they can have you in trial in about 3 weeks unless you waive speedy trial. And if everybody waives speedy trial, you'll have the court system in the big cities and in the small counties so flooded, they'll have to dismiss cases because you can't try them all.
That's right. So folks, listen, if we won't resist wearing a mask, we're not going to resist that vaccine. I'm just telling you. We've got to stop this thing now. And I believe we're fire starters. I believe if we do this, this will spread all across America. It'll spread all across America. And then the mask thing's going to be over. That's anybody have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, actually, I do, Coach.
Yeah, I do. I think that we have the advantage because it is not a law.
It's not a law.
Someone asked, well, what if they make it a law? Then we have the advantage of it is an unlawful law.
Amen, Joe. Amen. Okay.
Yeah. And to move from there.
Folks, people are going broke, folks. People are losing their businesses over this phony pandemic. Not that the virus is phony. I've never said that. I just had a friend just die 2 days ago. Nobody's saying it's not real. But we do know this again. I hate to say it again and again and again. The death rates in America are not going up. This is not a pandemic, folks.
Comment. The flu has been 100% real for the last COVID 18, 17, 16 strain. There's a 20 strain. There's a 21 strain. It will go on for 5 years.
Yeah.
The thing is, are we going to let them weaponize it and restrain us with the flu?
Right.
And it's global. So there's going to be global forces that influence the courts not to remove masks. The global influence is going to be for the courts to not remove them. So all of the swamp distributed throughout the country are defending masks for the deep state, so that they can push that forward right into the vaccinations. Now, I don't know if individuals and protests are going to bring awareness to a global initiative. I think it's what we should do as Christians, but we got to be careful with expectations because it's a global move. This is not a U.S.-based attack on us. This is global.
Dave,
keep that in mind as we move forward.
The lady that spoke last night that Jim made reference to, she came right out of the gate that the politicians don't have the will to do it, but the businesses in conjunction with the politicians will say what you said earlier, no flights, you can't shop here, you can't do that unless you're vaccinated. That's where the pressure is going to come, right, is from the private enterprise business.
Amen.
Coach, Steve,
yes.
Just remember that Paul went to prison. When Paul went to prison, the gospel spread like wildfire.
Amen. Amen.
And we need to be willing to do that. We need to do it not because we're against masks, but we're for the truth and we're against the law. Truth will set us free.
Absolutely.
We have to do it because of what's true and fight for that.
That's right.
I'm in a mall in here in St. Charles County, outside of St. Louis. And we don't wear masks in our Christian bookstore. And I know some people get offended if they don't wear masks. Some people appreciate it. Like, look, no, this is a free area. You're in my store. Amen. You're free. We're in a mall. And nobody's bothering us, kicking us out.
Amen. By the way, Bernie, thanks for the books. I'll get those all distributed to everybody. Sure do appreciate it. But Bernie, it's exactly what you're saying, or somebody said yesterday, maybe. It's not the government that's making us do this, folks. It's what is to a degree. Rural King. Rural King all of a sudden is going crazy. I don't know why, but now I know why. The health department came by and threatened him and said, listen, for everybody we see in here without a mask on, we're going to charge you with a $150 fine for not enforcing the no mask. And so what's Rural King saying? Rural King saying, holy smokes, I don't want to lose $15,000 today. We're going to start enforcing this thing. So it's not the government that's doing it. It's government coercion that's doing it. And private businesses are complying because of government coercion.
Yeah, that's right, Coach. In Nevada, they passed Senate Bill 40 to use OSHA as an excuse, $7,000 to $70,000 to stay in Nevada.
See, there you go. So that's what we're dealing with, right? That's what
Dave, I think that's why we need to boycott your local health department officials. You know, go around there, you know, and make it personal and picket those places.
Amen. I should go right to their house.
I'm for all this stuff, folks. But listen, it's always the same. When you go to them, they'll say, well, they said we have to. Well, who's they? Well, they did. And then you go to they, and they say, well, who was it? Who told you have to do that? Well, they did. Well, who's they? I don't know, but they told us we have to. Well, who's they? And you just keep going up a lot, and it just keeps getting they, and they, and they, and they. When finally, it's the governor, isn't it? It's the governor, and it's the gutless elected representatives who won't stand up and say, stop it. It's bought off judges who won't stand up and say, you can't do that. So what? We the people are going to have to do it, folks, because if we allow them to clamp down on us just simply with masks now, a year from now, you're going to have to have a vaccine card to go into Kroger's. It's coming, folks. It's coming. So as Larry's always telling us, we got to head it off now. I'm with you. We got to head it off. So, yeah.
Can I be tongue in cheek on this and ask maybe we're all these people who printed all these fake ballots, we can get them to print us some fake ID.
Yeah. Big business in it, I think, Dale. Yeah. Big business in it.
They're mentioning two vaccines, too. Paul,
I saw it's going to be four. It's going to be one every 6 months or something like that. It's going to be a series of four of them. And we don't even know if it works. We don't even know. And chances are probably pretty high that more lives will be destroyed by the vaccination than will ever be destroyed by COVID in the long run, right?
Hey, Coach.
Man. Yeah.
Well, remember, I don't know if it was about 6 months ago, a year ago, there was a website that came out, Deagle.com, said the United States population is going to be reduced by a certain number of percentage, the GNP is going to go down by a certain number of percentage. And people are saying, well, what? How's that going to happen? How's that going to happen? Yeah. Well, this is how it's going to happen.
That's how it's going to happen. Where's Joe Esposito when I need him? Where is he? Huh? They're killing us with radio. See, folks, I got emails yesterday. Tinfoil hat. Oh, you're an alarmist. You're fear porn. I'm just trying to give you fair warning, okay? You do what you want to do. But what are you going to do when they come to your house? What are you going to do? What are you going to do when that guy pulls up? What are you going to do? I've had the FBI come to my house. I've had the Secret Service come to my house. What am I going to do when the FBI pulls up? What are you going to do when they get out of their car and they say to you, and you are alone, you and your wife, and they come and they say, pardon me, Mr. Richardson, our records show that you haven't had the vaccination yet. And we happen to have a doctor right here with us, and we'd like to do it. What are you going to do? So that'll never happen. Yeah. Miracles don't wear masks either, will they?
The weapon is not the illness. The weapon is the vaccine. The vaccine is little time bombs that can be triggered by 5G. Hello.
Yep. Where's Joe Esposito when I need him? We talked about that too. It's been triggered by 5G and the radiation. It's all working together. Right? Why? Because the seed of the serpent is conspiring against the Lord and his anointed, folks. It's the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. It's been going on for eons. Which now Mike tells me, let's get into the Bible, pull up Jude. It's the third thing down, the book of Jude. I got this from my wife this morning. She was reading it. She said, honey, you ought to He ought to read a book, too. Yeah, go ahead.
We have biblical precedents for the vaccination. There's biblical resulting actions. There's side effects. So when Genesis 6 happened and the Watchers changed their DNA, what was the side effect? Judgment.
Hmm.
We were corrupted and we were all killed. Genesis 6 explains it very clearly what the government's doing, so that we'll have side effects and can be singled out and eliminated. It happened before.
Yes, sir.
Nothing new on the face of earth. So if you don't look at the vaccination and side effects as judgment, and the mask being the soft lead into it, and the social being the way yep. that they're going to restrict our flights, the same way with the market,
yep.
then you're lost already.
Folks, Fauci already said that the virus is going to be 5 years. Well, there'll be another one. wake up. Hey, Joe.
Fauci, Dave, I'm here.
Hey, are you listening, Joe? Are you listening?
I am. Go ahead.
We're all over it, aren't we, Joe? Aren't we?
Yes,
all
sir.
And so I got some pushback even yesterday talking to my own family members about radiation and said, please at least turn off your internet at night. Just turn off your internet at night. And Joe, they want to push back against that. That's like saying, would you run your freaking microwave all night while you're sleeping? Would you put your microwave behind your bed and let your microwave run all night long while you sleep? Turn it off! But Joe, we get pushbacks against that kind of stuff, don't we?
Yes, we do, Coach. And think about how long I've been preaching this. Why do I get pushback? Why don't people change? It's been what, two years I've been talking about this?
Right.
Now you're in the driver's seat for getting pushback. Why yep. don't people listen to us? It's invisible. Prince of the power of the air has power over their minds. They're addicted to consumption and entertainment.
Folks, listen to this.
Amen, Mark.
Listen, I got this revelation. We just say things, we don't even think about it. The Bible says that Satan is the prince of the power of the air. We just say that. Folks, listen! He's the prince of the power of the air. What is the power of the air? He's not the prince of the air. He's the prince of the power of the air. You understand the difference? Prince of the power of the air.
Who was? The angel of music, the angel, the light bringer, the frequency angel, sound, light, power of air.
Mm.
That's who Satan is.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And words and the manipulation of words, because words travel through the air as well, don't they? And Satan twists words and manipulates words. Prince of the power of the air.
But he is the prince, and this is why it's so important that we speak life and death is held in the tongue, and they who love it shall eat the fruit thereof. That's why we speak life, because Jesus Christ is the king, of the air. He is the king of the air.
I love it, man. I love it. Hey, Joe Silver, you ready? I want you to start reading Jude. So, Joe, when you start reading, I can interrupt. It's better when I get to interrupt rather than when I don't like interrupting myself, you know, Joe? So, Joe, we got it up on the screen. Just start reading this to us. This, folks, this is one, Jude is one chapter. And I want you to listen just to the truth in this one chapter about what we see going on around us. Go ahead, Joe.
Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God, the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ and called.
I could preach right there just on that verse. Go ahead.
Mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith
which
was once delivered unto the saints.
What do we have to do, Joe?
Earnestly contend.
Okay.
For the faith.
Okay, I thought I was making sure. Okay, go ahead.
For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation.
Ordained to this condemnation. They've been ordained to do this, folks. Ordained to this condemnation. Go ahead, Joe.
ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance that ye once knew of it, knew this.
Wow.
How that the Lord saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not.
Wow, come Lord Jesus.
And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah, the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise, also these filthy dreamers defy the flesh.
A filthy dreamer. Think about that. Get that word picture in your head. Filthy dreamers. Keep going, Joe.
Despise dominion and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, while contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee." But these speak evil of those things which they know not.
Amen.
But what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves.
Amen, Joe.
Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Kor. These spots in your feast of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth.
Amen.
Without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots.
Wow, Lord Jesus, doubly dead, doubly dead.
Raging waves of the sea, forming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed."
Mm-hmm.
And
look how many times it says ungodly, folks. Look at that. Go ahead, Joe.
"And all of their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration."
Oh, hero worship, advantage. Hero worship, baby. Men's persons in admiration, because they get stuff out of admiring these guys. Keep going, Joe.
"But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual
having not the Spirit.
But ye behold, beloved, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most high holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life."
Now watch, folks. Here's what you're supposed to do with the gospel. Go ahead, Joe.
"And some have compassion."
Everybody, Joe, everybody have compassion?
"Some."
Some, okay.
"Have compassion, making a difference. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power.
Wow.
Now and forever. Amen.
And then, dominion and power where? Dominion and power where? Now, I want you to react to it, but not yet, because I want to take you back to three places in there that were really, really important. Mike, get ready to pull up. I want you to pull up, Mike, the error of Cain, and then the error of Balaam, and then the gainsaying of Korah. I've got links there to them. You don't have to pull them up, Mike. You don't have to pull them up. We spoke about this before, but to me, this – thank you, Michelle, for having me turn to the scripture today, because this, for me, accentuates exactly what we're talking about and what these men, these ungodly men, are going to do. The way of Cain can be described most commonly or easiest by saying they were after unjust gain. The way of Cain was a way of unjust gain. Impure motives leading to unjust gain. That was the way of Cain. Now, you look at the American political system. Is it ever about impure motives and getting personal gain? Has there ever been that, folks? It's in our pulpits. Then the second thing they warn us about is the era of Balaam. What was the era of Balaam? Preaching the word for worldly admiration, worldly dollars, worldly influence. Everybody knows my name. Get a TV show. I better be careful here. Right? That is called the era of Balaam. I got links on them. I don't have time to go to them right now. And the third thing they said in that same scripture, the gainsaying of Korah. And what was the gainsaying of Korah? It was finding fault in everybody who's trying to do the right thing. Now you tell me that spirit isn't alive and well in America today, in the political system, in the church system. My greatest fights come from those who should be on my own team. And all they want to do is they're gainsaying. Gainsaying, if you look up the word gainsaying, it means to come against. To come against. And what is what is the gainsaying of Korah? Those in authority constantly coming against anointed, the prophets, anointed people. It doesn't fit their plan. Folks, it's going on in Washington. It's going on in Washington, D.C. It's going in our pulpit. It's going on in our government. It's going on everywhere. So what are they? The way of Cain, impure motives. Number two, the heir of Balaam, worldly gain and worldly attention. Somebody say amen. Boy, Coach, you're nailing it today. No, I'm not. I'm not nailing it. This guy did. Jude did. And number three, the gainsaying of Korah, coming against the anointed, coming against the truth. Wow. That's what we're dealing with, folks. Open it up. Come on in.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Earlier in your conversation, you were talking about, you know, what do we do and stuff. And on my channel on YouTube, I upload daily devotionals, and I'm reminded this morning of the daily devotional that was read, and it says, be willing to go out on a limb with me. If that is where I am leading you, it is the safest place to be. Your desire to live a risk-free life is a form of unbelief.
Amen. Boy, what's your YouTube channel, brother?
Revelation 2015,
folks, write that down. Revelation 2015, another YouTube channel you can check out, right? So what's been the theme of what we're talking about today? Folks, we see all of this coming. We see what we're dealing with. We see the type of men that we're dealing with. We see all of this coming. Well, somehow we think this is miraculously going to disappear if we can just get Donald Trump reelected. Really? I'm all for that. If you can't understand and you can't see the lining up of the two sides for a cataclysmic clash. Randy, you've been quiet today. Come on in.
No, I'm listening, Coach. I don't have anything to say.
Okay, man.
I'm good.
It's good. Huh? It's good. Now, I'm going to do one more thing real quickly. Mike, pull up Enoch. Because those of you who don't like the Book of Enoch, and I don't care whether you do or not, just click on it, Mike. Enoch is referenced in Jude. You know that, folks? Referenced in Jude, the Book of Enoch. And even though the Book of Enoch, and we could get into this another discussion about whether it's canon, who decided it was canon, who decided it was part of the Bible, and all that stuff. We know this, that Enoch walked with God. Enoch was so pure, he walked with God. He walked with God, and then what happened? Boom, he's gone. He's translated. Enoch didn't die. He was translated out. And then they want us to believe that he wrote a book of lies. They want us to believe that? So I don't know. Let me go to the screen here. Mike, do you have it up there? This is just one. Folks, you want to do something this afternoon if you don't have a lot to do? Read the book of Enoch. Just read it. Just read it. Read it as a history book. Don't read it as Bible if you don't want to. Oh, it's not part of the King James Bible. I'm not going to read that. And I put this website up there because it shows you what they're talking about. Verses 1 through 16 talks about the fallen angels and then the watchers and everything that's happened on the earth. And we just read out of the book of Jude, and Jude quotes Enoch.
Yeah, you'll find out also the names of some of the other angels that aren't mentioned in the regular canon.
Right, right. And so we ask ourselves, Glenn, why? Who? Listen, folks, I'm not trying to hurt anybody's faith. Not at all. Enoch's not in the Bible. Okay, it's not in the Bible. But it's a historical reference to what was going on at the time. Have you ever read the book of Enoch? Have you ever read the book of Giants? Maybe some of this stuff will begin to make more sense to us if we start reading some of this stuff that our 6-foot icicles told us we shouldn't read.
Well, folks, we'll read every other book that's in a Christian bookstore. We'll watch every other video that's on YouTube, and we'll believe that. But Enoch was even disputed to be in there, and at one point it was. Brother, it is an absolute book chock full of truth.
So, folks, go to YouTube. Thanks, Stephanie. Go to YouTube, and the book of Enoch's right there. Listen to it. Go to Enoch, and while you're doing work around the house, put your earbuds in. No, Joe Esposito said don't do that. Don't put those in. Don't put wireless ones in. But anyway, just listen to it. Just listen to it. And maybe your eyes will open to some of the stuff that we're dealing with here.
Hey, Coach, Peter quotes a lot of Enoch in Second Book of Peter.
Yeah.
Okay. Another little bit of information with that Book of Enoch. I've read it and I've listened to it, and it blew my mind because do you remember a movie that was out years ago with Denzel Washington? It was called Fallen.
Yeah.
And this head demon was the same name in the Book of Enoch. It was Azazel. He said, "Who are you?" And he's walking. He said, "Azazel, that's the chief fallen angel." It blew me away. I was like, "Whoa!" I mean, I thought they're telling you. They're right in your face telling you.
Amen. So, class, that would be an assignment. Read the Book of Enoch or listen to the Book of Enoch. You don't have to believe it is scripture. You don't have to go around quoting Enoch. But Enoch, I believe, is a historical perspective on what was going on. Explains it all. Is it relevant to today? You be the decision. I'm not going to tell you that. But we know that something's going on. Something unbelievable is going on in the world like we've never seen it. And I wonder if it has anything to do with the Book of Enoch and they don't tell us about it.
Yes, it does. Yeah. I mean, the Book of Enoch, I mean, the first 16 chapters, and it deals with the fallen angels. There's so many actual descriptions of the result of the Nephilim, okay, and how big they were. Okay, we're talking almost 3/4 of a mile tall.
That's what it says, Joe. That's what it says.
We can't believe that. You know, the vaccine's gonna work. I don't believe that either.
Amen. Amen. So, Joe, here's the sad thing for me anyway, folks. And please understand, 15 years ago, 10, I was blind to all this stuff. I wonder how many of you, I can see a bunch of them on my screen. I wonder if you would raise your hand right now if you've ever been in church and had your pastor talk to you about the Giants. Raise your hand if that's ever happened. Huh. Really?
Dave, about what?
About what? I preached on them.
About the Giants, the Nephilim.
The New York Giants.
Yeah, San Francisco Giants, right? But not this one, right? And this could be so soon. Never.
In my 30-some years of corporate church worship, after I got out of that darn frat when I was getting drunk every Saturday night and started going back to church, never.
Well, you shall know the truth, and the truth, if you know it, shall set you free. God bless you, man. Hey, I'll get all the information about the DC to all of you. Bear with me here a bit, okay? And we'll get her done. Great weekend coming up. Excited about it. Love all of you. Well, I hate it when guys say that because I don't know all of you. Thanks for being here. Or, I shout out, I'll get myself in trouble. We'll see you tomorrow.